The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm the announcer, Todd Wilkerson.
And what in the world?
I just noticed that my toenails are way overdue for a good clipping.
Holy Toledo! My feet look like dragon's claws.
How did it get to this point?
Maybe the vet can do something for me.
Wow, it's just nasty. Yeah, and now your host, Eric Metaxas.
You know, you try to do a serious radio program, and then you have an announcer that pulls a stunt like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize to you. Hey, listen, you know, if you know me, Eric Metaxas, that I love biographies. I love biographies so much that I've written three of them, one tipping the scales at 600 pages. But that's nothing in comparison with the book I'm now holding in my hands. We have a brand new, highly acclaimed biography of the great Ronald Reagan. It's titled Reagan, An American Journey. And we have the celebrated author of that book, Bob Spitz, on the line for the hour. Bob Spitz, congratulations on the book and welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's great to be here.
Well, you've really done something here. I have to say that I was in college during the Reagan presidency, and I've looked up to him more and more as the years have passed. But I've not read a biography about him, and so when I saw yours was out, I just was very excited. So we're thrilled to have you on here. Let me ask you, first of all, about yourself. What prompted you to write a mammoth a book like this about Ronald Reagan?
Well, you know, it's funny. I thought that after my last two books, I was the biographer of the Beatles and Julia Child, that I needed somebody who was I could draw a straight line through. And people are always, you know, they always say, how did you get from the Beatles and Julia Child to Reagan? It was easy. My wife said to me, you have two components of people who you write about. Number one, they're beloved. And number two, they've changed the culture. And when I sat down to try to figure out another subject that would be, you know, come within that have those two elements, it was incredibly difficult. They either had one or the other. Reagan had them both. And also I looked around and I saw that the Reagan biographies before mine, and let me tell you, there have been a couple hundred of them, had either been, you know, hagiography or fanboy books or so partisan that they were unreadable, or policy wonks. I thought he deserved a complete nonpartisan take, sort of like what David McCulloch did with Truman or Bob Caro did with Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
Soup to nuts that would really give you an honest portrayal of who Ronald Reagan was.
Well, that's what I try to do in my books, and I feel like it's the only way to fly, frankly. I mean, I don't understand why somebody would want to write hagiography, but it's hard not to admire Reagan, and it's hard not to write something that might read like hagiography. So I guess my question is, before we really dive in, how did you resist what I think would be a kind of a standard temptation to write about him as a larger-than-life heroic figure, because there is so much of that in him, even the way he presented himself, the way he stood tall, he sat tall in the saddle. I mean, there was something about him. You know, you're not writing about Truman.
No, but it was easier for me to do that, Eric, because I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I can't believe that came out of my mouth the wrong way. I've never voted for a Republican in my life.
Right.
So when I sat down to write this, I realized that I was going to have to be completely objective. I was going to have to take my liberal mindset and put it aside. And to do that was, you know, was something I had to think about all the time. So it meant that I was really writing Ronald Reagan from scratch without, you know, any preconceived notion that he was, you know, a larger than life hero or that he was a bum. Right. And, you know, really. And so it was, I think, really the best way to approach him with a clean blotter.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. I was going to say, it's interesting because Reagan, you know, as most of us know, was a Democrat. I mean, he was a Democrat for most of his life. And then, as he said, the Democratic Party changed, which is true. I mean, my in-laws were, you know, FDR Democrats, and they voted Democrat till they couldn't vote anymore. But the fact is that the party changed pretty dramatically. So it's interesting when you're talking about Reagan and, you know, who the Democrats were, who they are now, and even how the Republican Party has changed. It's complex. So you have to draw a bead on a moment in history that I guess a lot of people have forgotten, this time when Reagan was as outrageous a figure in some ways as Trump is today. I mean, a Hollywood actor who decides that, you know, he wants to run for the presidency of the United States. Before we go further into Reagan, I just have to ask you, you have an extraordinary career. You you represented the Partridge family.
Yeah, it was my first job out of college.
Hey, I'm a huge Partridge Family fan. Huge, huge.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you where it got me, actually. I worked for the producer of the Partridge Family, and then I began writing the TV shows as part of the job.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Why are we talking about the Reagan biography when you've just told me?
It gets better, Eric. It gets better. One night, me and two friends who were writing the music were in the office, and a young guy knocked on our door to have his music heard, and his name was Bruce Springsteen, and we quit our jobs the next day to go manage Bruce Springsteen. So, you know, the story sounds great about the Partridge Family, but it gets even better as it goes.
You see, now, if I'd been in your shoes, I would have stuck with the Partridge Family. I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest right now. Yeah. Hey, the boss is great, but he's no David Cassidy. All right, listen, this is so funny to me. So you have had about as wildly eclectic a career as anybody. People often accuse me of being eclectic. I've been all over the map, but this takes the cake. I love the idea that you were in music representation. Is that what it's called? I guess that's what it's called.
I was a manager.
A manager. Yeah. So, but if you don't mind my asking, since I'm sure my audience is interested, how did you end up managing the Partridge Family? Did you say that you wrote some of the episodes for the show?
Yeah, I actually didn't manage them. I needed a job out of college, and I actually became just an office boy for the man who was producing the shows and their music. And he told me, you know, what was great advice for any young person, and that is keep your eyes and your ears open. Look at every piece of mail that comes in, get to know people's names, which I did. And I just started submitting scripts. It was easy as that. You know, I mean,
I can't believe if I would have known this earlier, I wouldn't have even mentioned Reagan. As much as I love Reagan, I just find it hilarious and delicious that I'm talking to somebody who's written scripts for the Partridge Family. Can you share with us which scripts you wrote that got produced?
You know what? It was 45 years ago. I mean, I can barely remember.
You can barely remember your name, and yet that's just so funny. That is so funny. The show has not aged well. If you watch episodes of, for example, The Brady Bunch, you can watch those reruns. Reruns of The Partridge Family are sort of they're odd. They don't fit very much.
That's right.
Today.
You're right. They're dated. Yeah.
But who cares? Because David Cassidy and Reuben Kincaid and the whole gang—they're all in there. So we don't really care about the plots. All right. Enough of that. But you went on to also—you managed Elton John.
I did. Yeah. During the Yellow Brick Road years, Caribou and Rock of the Westies. It was a great 2.5 years. And really exciting, going from one extreme with Bruce. We were traveling in, you know, station wagons. And with Elton, we had, you know, a 747 to our name.
So, well, I have to say, other than the Partridge Family, Elton John is my biggest. I mean, I just went to his concert. I've gotten to know his bass player, and I honestly had no idea in talking about Reagan we would stumble on this doubloons of gold. We'll be right back, folks, to talk, I promise you, about Ronald Reagan with Bob Spitz. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey there, it's Eric Metaxas for Policy Genius. Here's an unfun fact. Over half of bankruptcies and mortgage foreclosures are caused by medical issues. That's because if you get sick or injured over the course of your career, your employer's sick leave often only covers you for up to 3 months. And while health insurance helps with medical bills, it doesn't replace lost income. That is where disability insurance comes in. It's essentially income insurance. It protects your paycheck if you're sidelined by an illness or injury. Policy Genius does all the shopping for you. They compare quotes from the top disability insurance companies to find the best price. Then their licensed experts manage the application process to save you time and hassle. Policy Genius has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage. So if you rely on your income to get by, compare disability insurance quotes with PolicyGenius.com. We'll help you protect your paycheck at a price that makes sense. You can get started online right now. Policy Genius. It's the easy way to compare and buy disability insurance.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
This is going to be the best holiday ever.
Sure, I maxed out a couple of credit cards and overdrew a bank account or two, but they're not mine. They're yours. All that online shopping and booking travel you do around the holidays, it can leave you exposed. Yay! Now I have passwords, account info, social security numbers, hundreds of them. I got more lists than Santa. It truly is the most wonderful time of year.
For cybercriminals, the season of giving is the season of taking. Good thing there's LifeLock with Norton. LifeLock helps detect threats to your identity, like your information for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security protects your devices against cyber threats like malware. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But thanks to LifeLock with Norton, you don't have to let cybercriminals unhappy your holidays. Get 10% off your first year plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Thank you.
Hey there, folks. We don't have any recordings of Ronald Reagan singing. Otherwise, we would have played those. I prefer Elton anyway. I'm talking to the author of a brand new book on Ronald Reagan. The title, helpfully, is Reagan, An American Journey by Bob Spitz. Bob, again, thank you for the time and for allowing me to digress. I literally just met Bernie Taupin, so I'm all a Twitter, you know, about Elton John. So you have to understand. You got to try to put yourself in my shoes. But Reagan, is a hero of mine, and he did define a generation, and he did change the world. There's no doubt about that. So what is your takeaway as a Democrat writing about Reagan with some distance in years, which is very helpful? What is your takeaway? Who is this man to you?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I still don't agree with his policies, but I found plenty to admire in this guy. First of all, he was a man who put the American people above everything else, which, you know, in today's environment is an extraordinary thing for a president. He was a uniter and not a divider, and really cared about what he was doing and his role in the White House. You know, that was my takeaway at the end of this. But actually, also, you know, what I really sunk my teeth into was the way that this man changed the Republican Party, and brought a new life to the Republican Party. And also was a man of peace. You know, he was someone who reached out across the aisle to Democrats and to work with them, and also even across the ocean to somebody like Mikhail Gorbachev to reduce the threat of nuclear annihilation. So it was easy for me to find a lot to admire in the Ronald Reagan story.
It is interesting. I mean, the idea that he cut the top tax rate from 70% to 28%, it's hard to imagine that as recently as the 1970s, we had a top tax rate of 70%. It just seems scandalous and strange to me that in this the land of the free, we would soak the rich that way.
Well, it was the one thing that really turned Reagan from a Democrat into a Republican. It was the fact that he was in this incredible top tax bracket. It was 90% when he was a Hollywood actor. And he was just annoyed that the government would reach into his pocket that deeply. And that started the shift away from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party.
I mean, it really doesn't make any sense. I just don't know how we justified that in this country. We're not socialists yet. And it's strange to me that we would have done that, because it encourages people to be cynical and to find loopholes and to pay a lot of money for lawyers to, you know, to do whatever they can. And anyway, that's another story. But that is the most dramatic thing. And of course, we remember the phrase trickle down economics. I don't know who coined that phrase. You probably do.
It was David Stockman.
Aha, the famous David Stockman. Who can forget?
Yes.
Most people can forget. But David Stockman said trickle down economics. Of course, George Bush famously called it voodoo economics. But Bush, I mean, we're talking about Bush the first, 41. He eventually,
right,
I think, came around to believe in supply side economics. Am I mistaken in that?
You're not, but we're still waiting to see if those paid dividends. My take on it was that they did not. We really fell into a really terrible economic time during the first Bush administration, and I think it was a direct result of supply side economics.
Well, don't you think that Jimmy Carter set us up for that? I mean, my goodness, we had just come out of the horse latitudes of the 1970s economically.
I think there were a lot of factors, but I think most economists agree that supply side does not work, and we're seeing it now with some of the same results. But nevertheless, he did reduce the tax rate. it was a really unburdening of tax to the American public. And we have that to take away from his administration, which was a very good thing.
And how else do you see him as a game changer historically?
Oh, well, without a doubt. I mean, what he did with the Soviet Union is probably the pinnacle of his administration. To have talked to people who would never speak to us before and to find common ground and to agree to reduce the nuclear threat is something that, you know, is unsurpassable. And I will actually put it in perspective for you. It wasn't entirely his doing. It was really Nancy Reagan's doing. She really had one thing in mind for his legacy, and that was that he be remembered as a man of peace. So very early on, in fact, from the first weeks that he entered the Oval Office, she was really on him to make peace with the Soviet Union and do something bold. And I think that's the greatest initiative from his administration.
Isn't it the fact, though, that at Reykjavik, it was Reagan's willingness to walk away from the table that pushed the Soviets to a deal?
Actually, no, I think that was one of his biggest mistakes. What really pushed them to make a deal was Reagan's determination to see through Star Wars, SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative. It did not work. I think he knew it wasn't working, but he didn't tell the Soviet Union that. And so they believed it was going to work. And it was almost this sting that they used on the Soviet Union that kept Gorbachev at the table from walking away.
Well, maybe I'm confusing things or conflating them, because in my mind, I thought that he walked away at Reykjavik over Star Wars. In other words, that he insisted on it. And unless he took it off the table, there was no deal. And he said, well, I'm not taking it off the table.
Well, that's true. But the truth of the matter is, very soon thereafter, he did take it off the table. And it was what led Gorbachev to come to Washington, D.C. I believe it was in 86, although I'm not completely certain, and to sign the INF Treaty. But, there were a lot of manipulations there.
I guess
Reagan, he was tough. He was tough on him.
I just feel that kind of brinksmanship is what we see in Trump, and you never know what to think because you can't really know. First of all, you don't know if it's going to work. Secondly, you can't know if the leader doing this is crazy like a fox or just crazy. It's that keeping them guessing kind of thing that, you know, I feel Reagan was good at it with the Star Wars thing. The Star Wars initiative, nobody knew whether it would work. Nobody knew whether Star Wars would actually work, much less whether the ploy, with Gorbachev would work. But he was sort of, I guess what I'm saying is he kind of embodied that idea of the unpredictable cowboy. We don't know what he's going to do. There's a little saber rattling going on. It sort of keeps the other side on edge. I think Trump uses that as well. George W. Bush used it to some extent and was criticized for it. I mean, leaders are always criticized for this, but then the question is, did it work? I feel like with Reagan and Gorbachev that it did work. I guess that's my instinct.
Well, the biggest difference between what was going on then and what's going on today is that Reagan had such a great team of experts working for him. He picked really smart people. He relied on them. He wasn't an egomaniac enough to believe that he could do it on its own. He listened to their advice. He took their advice. And I think that was really an extraordinary part of Reagan. He knew that he wasn't the smartest man in the room, and he wasn't. So he had the smartest men in the room advise him. And that was really, I think, one of the big keys to Ronald Reagan's success throughout the 8 years, not only that he was in office as president, but the 8 years that he was governor of California as well.
That's interesting. I guess one of the things that I remember about his tenure was the way he was characterized mischaracterized, I thought, as an amiable dunce. That's the famous phrase. And he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen from letters and things that he's written since, that he was very, very bright, but he simply wasn't on top of all the issues, and he had experts around him. I want to get more into that when we come back. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about Ronald Reagan, a brand new biography called Reagan, An American Journey by Bob Spitz. Stick around.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to go, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Just dial #250 on your mobile phone and say the keyword Wonder Pill. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in bathroom trips, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Try P3 Advanced free. Dial #250 on your mobile phone and say the keyword Wonder Pill. Again, dial #250 and say the keyword Wonder Pill.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Why is it never light on my lawn? Why does it rain and never say good day to the newborn? On the big screen they showed us the sun, but not as bright in life as the real one. It's never quite the same as the real one.
Hey there, folks. We're talking about Elton John, but mostly about Ronald Reagan. I'm holding in my hands a mammoth new biography of the great communicator Ronald Reagan. The title is Reagan, An American Journey by Bob Spitz. Bob is my guest. Bob, really, it's an extraordinary thing to write a book of this size. Having written biographies myself, I have to ask you the question. When you're dealing with someone like Reagan, the subjects of my biographies are similar in the sense that there was a ton of material from which to choose. You could write a 5,000-page biography if you want. How did you decide what to put in, what to leave out? In other words, as you were shaping this in your mind, how did you approach that? Because there's just an infinite amount of information on Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I could really have made this a 5-volume book. I think what you need to do in a situation like this is two things. Number one, to make sure that you uncover new information and hit on all the important, the large topics. But number two, I think you really have to keep an eye on your reader. It has to be a compelling read. And you owe your reader, you know, the adventure of discovering Ronald Reagan and discovering not only what he did as a president, but who he was as a man. And I think that was equally as important to me. So I spent a lot of time on his childhood, his college days, his extraordinary jobs before he came to politics. And that was, of course, is a great announcer in the Midwest, radio broadcaster, as a Hollywood movie star, and then really the job that he loved the most, and that was being the spokesperson for General Electric.
Tell us about that. There are a lot of younger folks, especially, who know nothing about that. So Reagan had a career. They may not even know that he had a career. He was a Hollywood movie star, never really an A-lister, but he was a known figure in Hollywood. And then his career kind of slumped, and he got this job as a spokesperson for General Electric. What does that even mean? Help us understand what that meant.
Well, I'll set the table for you. Actually, before that, his career as a Hollywood star had really hit rock bottom. And so my book opens up in, of all places, Las Vegas in 1954. Ronald Reagan is stuck there doing a corny vaudeville show at one of the casinos, and he doesn't know what he's going to do with his life. He's really undecided. What he knows is he can't go back to Hollywood. He loves politics, but he can't jump into that. And by the time he finishes this two-week stint in Hollywood, he's offered a job by General Electric to be the host of their weekly television show. But more important than that, they've asked him to be their corporate ambassador. And basically, they wanted him to go to all their plants across the United States and just to walk through talking to people who work there, blue-collar people, working-class people, to find out what was on their minds, how their lives were going, what could make their lives better. And this is really the formation of Ronald Reagan being in touch with people and knowing what he could do to change their lives if he got into politics. He loved this job. If he had done nothing more than been the announcer, ambassador for GE, he would have been a happy buckaroo for the rest of his life.
I think it's important for us to realize that we don't have anything like this in contemporary life. The idea of maybe we do. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that there was a time in the United States, the 1950s, where you could buy a celebrity. You'd say, "I like the cut of his jib. He goes with our corporation. I wonder if he'd be the spokesperson for our corporation." And there was something about Reagan. They could get him cheap because he was no longer a star. They liked what he was, what he stood for, his all-American positive attitude. And they said that goes with us with GE, at a time when GE, of course, had a much higher profile than it does today. But it's interesting that they were, I guess it was an era of corporate sponsors that we don't have anymore. I mean, TV shows, you had the Texaco Hour, that TV was, we'd go from one corporate sponsor to the next. That's in our past in the United States. So it's hard for us to imagine what it was that he was doing exactly.
Yeah, I think this was a brilliant move by GE. I mean, to get a Hollywood star and to farm him out to your people who work for you, and just to talk to them, because not only was he listening to them, but he was also espousing, the GE corporate attitudes. He wanted people to know that GE was opposed to unions. And this was strange because Ronald Reagan was such a union man. He was, of course, the president of the Screen Actors Guild, which is a union before this.
Right.
But, he was working for the company as well as listening to the people. He loved both parts of that. And it was really the job that gave him the attitude to become president and to be able to listen to people and to speak to an America at large.
I realize that it's just so interesting because America was changing, unions were changing. When we come back, folks, we're going to continue the conversation about the great Ronald Reagan with Bob Spitz, his biographer. Stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Isn't that what life is made of? Though it worries me to say that I've never felt this way.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out.
I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pains. I said, trust me, the Quick Start Pack, $19.95, you get more than 3 weeks' worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest-Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest-Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest-Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret, Plug-In and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-942-4730. 800-942-4730. That's 800-942-4730.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. You've heard about our Solera infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com, but did you know we also make the best gas logs for your fireplace? You've probably seen Rasmussen gas logs and fireballs on TV and in the movies. We've got sizes to fit all fireplaces, styles to fit every decor, and we even do custom designs for large and unusual fireplaces. Lighting these logs is as easy as pushing a button. Realistic Rasmussen gas logs look great even when the fire is off. For regions prone to power outages, gas logs are an excellent source of emergency heat with no electricity required. We've been making them since the 50s, so you can buy a Rasmussen gas log with confidence. So go to besthotgrill.com to find the products you need to keep you warm inside and outside of your home while eating great grilled food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Hey there, folks. Since we're talking about Ronald Reagan, it reminds me that one of our sponsors is Hillsdale College. We talk about the good, the true, and the beautiful. Those concepts, really, you have to say, what do they mean, the good, the true, and the beautiful? Where does that come from? You can't really understand them unless you get the right kind of education. Now, that kind of education used to be common, but it's become increasingly rare. It used to be that college students would study comprehensively. They'd get a variety of subjects from philosophy to politics to biology, from literature to history, to theology. In other words, a core curriculum. That's no longer the case. But I can tell you about one place where it is, Hillsdale College. At Hillsdale, students work hard, spending more than half of their time studying the core curriculum. The result, Hillsdale alumni are leaders with intelligence and character, ready to make a difference in their families, communities, and country. But it all starts with that core, the core that every student takes, the core that develops moral and intellectual virtue. Imagine virtue. Yeah, well, it helps them understand the good, the true, and the beautiful. If you want to find out more about Hillsdale, go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. That's MetaxasForHillsdale.com. Now back to our fun conversation about Danny Bonaducci and the Partridge Family with Bob Spitz. Bob, it's very tempting to go to Danny Bonaducci, but I'm going to resist that. We're going to stick with Reagan. Let me ask you, when we're talking about Reagan, he's doing this for GE. How long was he a GE corporate spokesperson?
He did it for a couple of years. It was like 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so this is the mid-50s, mid to late 50s?
Yes, mid-50s, right on the button.
What does he do immediately after that?
You know, he has a hiatus because Reagan was kind of, you know, he got involved with a group of very wealthy businessmen from California who were very, very strong in politics, and they had been after him to run for office. It was something that he says he had never thought about. I don't believe that's entirely true. I think it was on his mind really from the days that he was finished with his screen career. But he wasn't ready to jump into politics at the time. So he went on the radio, which is where he was most comfortable because he had such a wonderful radio career when he got out of college. And he did a weekly show. It was a daily show. He'd be on for 5 or 10 minutes, and he'd talk about something that he learned while he was, you know, out with the GE people. Either it was about, you know, lowering taxes, government was too big, anything that was on his mind. So he was developing his whole platform right then and there. And he did this for about a year and a half. And he also wrote a weekly radio column, a weekly newspaper column, where he'd also express his views. And this was the turning point. Again, this was the movement away from show business into politics for Ronald Reagan.
Well, it is interesting how he made that move. When did he finally decide to run for office, and what was the office? Was it straight to the governorship?
Well, yeah, it was. They figured they would start him out there first. They always believed that they would run Ronald Reagan for president. And these were very wealthy guys. They were oil guys, men who owned car dealerships. And when I say car dealerships, they owned 1,000 of them, not just one or two.
Now, did he find them or did they find him?
You know, they kind of found each other. They were in his social circle in Beverly Hills. And so he knew them. He rubbed shoulders with them, and they figured he was their guy. And they weren't sure of it until the Barry Goldwater candidacy. And then they knew they had the right guy.
And what do you mean, the Barry Goldwater? I mean, was Goldwater? Because it seems that Goldwater was pretty similar to Reagan politically. No.
Well, they were all Goldwater men. His kitchen cabinet. They had put a lot of money into the Goldwater candidacy, and as that candidacy was tanking, they asked Ronald Reagan to make a speech in the waning days of the Goldwater candidacy.
Let me guess. Was this the speech?
This was the speech. It has always been called the speech. And basically, Reagan went on TV. It was a half-hour speech paid for by these wealthy men in favor of Barry Goldwater. And Reagan pours his heart out, but in a really wonderfully thoughtful way. And, you know, he had everything. He had the charisma. He had the charm. He had the acting technique, the communication, and these businessmen looked at this speech afterwards and they said to themselves, we got the wrong candidate running. And
this was 1960.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And so once Goldwater's candidacy tanked, this was 64.
I'm sorry, right, 64.
Yeah, 1964. So once his candidacy was over, they decided to channel all their money and put their chips on Ronald Reagan from then on.
Well, it's amazing. So at that point, they decide to run him for governor, and he runs in 66, correct?
Exactly right.
And he wins. Who did he run against? Was it Pat Brown?
He ran against Pat Brown, who had been at that time a two-term governor, was kind of beloved by California people. But, you know, two terms in those days, when you come back for the third term, you're looking a little long in the tooth, and people were ready for a change. And Reagan beat him handedly. He beat him by almost a million votes.
And wow.
He found himself in office. And, of course, the very first day he said to the people who got him there, now what do we do? he didn't really know how to be a governor at that time. He learned on the job, and he did a really incredibly good job as governor of California.
Well, he had such a wonderful self-deprecating humor about him that he was willing to say things like, now what do we do? He really was charming in that sense. Well, okay, so he ran. Was he a two-term governor? I'm not remembering.
Yes, he was a two-term governor. The second term he ran, he won by even more votes.
Right.
And basically, you know, he was an environmental governor. I mean, you know, really, it's hard to even say right. that, but it's true. He did a lot for the environment of California, things that are still paying off today.
Hang on, folks. We've got a final segment with Bob Spitz, the author of Reagan, An American Journey.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Let's talk about your business for a minute. Think about all the things you're doing to attract the best talent. Between the networking events and referral bonuses, you're probably spending plenty of time and money to find the right people. But what if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce is mobile and active, and they want an office designed around the way they work. And Varidesk makes it easy. Varidesk standing desk solutions help you create an active workspace where employees can stand and move so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. Our full line of active office products are constructed with commercial-grade materials and require little to no assembly, so they're easy to set up and move. Companies of any size can have a Varidesk active workspace. Ordering is simple. Shipping is free. And our 30-day guarantee means if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. Learn more about Varidesk Active Workspace Solutions at varidesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the author of a new biography on Ronald Reagan. The book is called Reagan, An American Journey. Bob Spitz is on the line. Bob, we're talking about his tenure as governor in California. It was from 66 to 74. Did he run for a third term, or did he decide now is time to step back?
No, he did not run for a third term, even though people wanted him to. He was firmly of the belief that a governor should only run for two terms, that they needed fresh blood in there. And of course, the person who took that job afterwards was Jerry Brown.
Right. Governor Moonbeam, as he was called in those days when he was dating Linda Ronstadt. Well, very crazy to think about 1974 in America, because, of course, we've just been through the hell of Watergate as a country. And it's hard not to think that Reagan was teeing himself up to run for the presidency in 76, or am I getting ahead of us?
Well, I can tell you, quite frankly, you know, as you noted before, he became governor in 66. 1 week after he became governor, the team in his office was putting him into had a platform ready for him to run for president. And they wanted to run him in 68 again, you know, before Nixon got involved.
Wow.
But from the very first day, and they had a strategy called Prairie Fire. And that prairie fire was to spread a prairie fire across the United States with Reagan's name at the top of it, and to launch him into the presidency. So this happened really 2 weeks after he was after he first ran as governor.
If I had a bunch of money men like that behind me, I'd be president by now. Just think of it. It's actually funny to think that it's like out of a movie. He's got these money guys behind him, and they're trying to help him. It's pretty extraordinary. Well, obviously, he wasn't going to run for president while Nixon was in there, but I suppose
Thought about it. He really did think about it, and I have a chapter in the book where the two of them meet, and they really, Reagan is close to throwing his hat in, but he realizes that Nixon is so far ahead of him, and actually much smarter than him when it came to policy.
So that's in 68 or in 67?
This is in 68.
Okay, yeah. So he was, that's very interesting, because, Nixon was a genius, there's just no question about it, and he does make Reagan seems simple in a way, but okay, so he backs off, but then in 76 he sees his opportunity, and it is interesting to think in 76 that I remember he gave that speech at the convention, but Ford obviously was the incumbent, and he ran and lost.
He almost beat Ford. You know, he really couldn't get past the convention, but Ford was scared. I mean, Reagan really put up a very good fight.
Well, isn't it because Ford, in his day, Ford was, you know, what today conservatives call a rhino. I mean, he was a party man, but he was a pretty moderate, not a terribly conservative Republican, and Reagan was an arch conservative. You know what? We're bumping up against the end of the hour. Can I twist your arm to stay for a second hour, Bob, please? Would you do that?
I'm going to be right here.
Okay,
yeah,
I won't
go away.
Don't move. Folks, we're going to do a second hour with Bob Spitz. Reagan is way too fascinating, and this book is way too big. Can't get through it in an hour. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.